So
tonight we want to talk on the topic of guided by integrity, and this comes from a verse that the fellow referenced. Starts with principle, and it's the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. And so I want to just kind of dwell upon some of the thoughts of that verse a little bit more, and recognize that it can be kind of a help to us in what we're dealing with. And we've talked about that idea of the upright before, and it's that idea where you want to be able to live a life where you can stand tall and not be ashamed, right? Where you're doing what you feel you want to do, and there's not all this kind of baggage and stuff where you hope nobody ever finds out about. And so we want to get to that point, and so it's learning that. And so there's this verse here, and it talks about integrity and how it can guide us. And so we want to just consider that a bit more. And so it's the thing is that we highly value and deeply respect individuals who have integrity. If we find someone that we know that we can trust, that and we know that they're always someone that we can count on, they're dependable, they're not going to take advantage of us, that's someone they say, wow, this is a person I want to know, someone I value in my life. And when we find someone like that, and we see they're a person of integrity, it's a challenge to us, because it makes us say, well, boy, I want to be known as a person of integrity. I want other people to see me in that way, that I am a person of integrity. But the thing is when we've fallen into a bad habit or an addiction, we find that is a big thing that really robs us of that integrity, right? That a lot of times what happens is we maybe mean to do right, but when we're basically being guided by our addiction, where it's kind of leading us by the nose, we end up doing a lot of things that we're ashamed of, and things that we would never do before, people that we hurt or people that we let down. And we realize that with that habit that we have, it makes us more and more undependable. And so it makes us into a disappointment to ourselves and others. And that really becomes kind of a cycle where it makes us feel bad. And then sometimes what do we do to try to make ourselves feel better? Well, that's a trigger to use again, right? And so we get ourselves in that bad situation. And a lot of times we kind of look at ourselves very negatively. But we think in terms just of the addiction. If I can just get rid of the addiction, and that'll solve all my problems. But we want to understand is that the addiction is not just our main problem in many ways. A lot of times it's a symptom of a deeper problem. And it's kind of the thing that we might assume, well, if I deal with my addiction, then that will restore my integrity. But we want to actually understand from the opposite way, that if we get restored to a position of integrity, then we will gain freedom from our addiction. And so I'll kind of try to explain what I mean by that. And so just kind of keep that verse in mind, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, and that's what we want to talk about tonight, is the thought of integrity. And so we first want to define what integrity is. And so when we think of it, we think primarily in terms of a person's morality, in terms of someone that is honest and has virtue, someone that we would say has a strong moral compass that does not waver. And so we think of it in terms of that verse, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, that they have that compass, that they're always knowing the right place, way to go in life, right? And we would look at that and we say that's an accurate definition. But tonight I want to kind of help you just think about it in a different way, because it has a lot of a broader meaning to it. Because when something has integrity, it means that thing is whole, it is complete, it is sound. It's put together well. I know there's a word that you hear in the Kootenays, you don't hear much here, it's skookum. And it's the idea that it's built well, right? That it's solid. And so that's the idea. If something has integrity, is it where it's sound, it's built well. And in engineering, we think in terms of structural integrity. And that's the ability of a structure to hold together under a load without breaking or deforming excessively. And so you think of that, you think of bridges, of buildings, that you want to have them so that no matter what they may face in terms of wind or load, that they're going to support that. And of course, whenever one fails to maintain structural integrity, it's usually a great disaster, right? And what happens is then there's an investigation, and they always try to see, okay, why did this fail? Why did it lose structural integrity? And you do that because you want to learn from that so it doesn't happen again, right? Because especially if it's a bridge or a building, people can die if it loses structural integrity. And so, we want to understand that often the source of the failure of a building or structure, it's usually something seemingly small that was neglected or overlooked. And sometimes it can be that they're supposed to use a certain maybe size of bolt or size of cable, and they decided, well, we'll just use the one just below that and it should be okay. Or they just thought that it would be enough and it didn't. I remember hearing of this one building. I believe it was a shop or a barn or something like that. My dad had heard about and found that the thing basically blew off its foundation and just collapsed into a pile. And so they wondered, well, how in the world did that happen? And what the thing was is that when they raised the wall, there were anchor bolts in the concrete. And they drilled holes in the plates to drop the walls onto those anchor bolts. And the whole thing is once you get it dropped on, then you're supposed to put a nut and a bolt onto those anchor bolts and crank it down so it's tight. Well, they figured, well, we'll get to that eventually. We'll just finish building it. And they got it all built, and then they never got around to actually putting the nuts and the bolts onto those anchor bolts. And so what ended up happening, the wind came, and it just started kind of pushing it, till finally it pushed it off. And so a lot of times it is what we learn about is principle number 5, that small compromises lead to great disasters. That it's something little that's neglected that ends up causing a big problem. And so when we think of integrity in this way, in terms of structure and soundness, and we apply it to our life, we can think of it as it's to have a life that's structurally sound in all areas. And so whatever load it's placed under, whatever challenge our life faces, it's not going to collapse. It's not going to be deformed into some other form other than what we want. It remains as it should. Excuse me. And so that's what we want to, for tonight, kind of think of it in those terms. And so when we think of it in that way, our integrity or lack of integrity is demonstrated by how we respond to things when we're under stress. And so it's kind of the thing is that when we're under stress and we realize we're not responding properly, we're reacting, and especially towards other people, lashing out at them, where we're becoming overwhelmed with anxiety or depression or other things like that, we would say, okay, there's something in how I've built my life that I've neglected. And so I need to do kind of a personal investigation and say, okay, what is missing? What small compromise is leading to this problem that I'm having, where I'm overreacting, where I'm just about at a point of stress overload and breakdown because of these things that have happened. And so the sooner we identify that and correct it, then that way our integrity isn't compromised. And so what we have to do then is identify and confront those areas of personal weakness in the structure of our lives. And that's not something we enjoy doing, but we realize it's necessary, right? It's just the same. If you had a bridge and you had a bit of a storm and you saw it buckling and everything, but at least it held firm, you want to get in there, you want to see, okay, does this thing need to be fixed? How do we reinforce this? We want to make sure this is safe, right? And it's the same with our lives. We want to take that time because it's our life that we're living in, right? And so we want to do that. We realize that we always need to grow. There's things that may be lacking, and it might not be that we've necessarily neglected them on purpose. Sometimes as we grow up, it never got built into our life, that maybe the examples we had weren't exactly the best examples, or sometimes we looked at some we didn't think it was that important, and it didn't become part of our life as it should. And so we want to identify those and make the necessary changes. But the thing is when we're struggling under stress, sometimes we're just in the moment and we're just thinking, well, if I get through this, then everything will be fine, but then it ends up taking longer than we think. But if we're in those moments and we're not willing to take the necessary personal evaluation, what happens sometimes is we think, okay, I just need to get through this difficulty for the time, so I'm going to turn to a substance, going to turn to some kind of behavior as kind of my quick fix to keep the structure of our lives propped up. And kind of as an illustration of that, we went back to trail last month quickly because, guy that we knew very well passed away, and we wanted to be there for his funeral. And we went by where the house that we had that we sold 10 years ago. And when we lived there, they had a carport. It wasn't built that well, but it was okay. It was like you knew if you had a bunch of snow, you need this to get it off because otherwise it would probably collapse under the weight. But here, over 10 years, no maintenance had been done to this carport. And so it was in really rough shape. But we were there, and what did the person do is he had a bunch of long 2x4s kind of jammed underneath it in different places, and that was the solution to make sure that it would stay up if it got under load. And it just like, okay, that's not going to work. That's going to make it more of a mess when it actually comes crashing down. But that's the thing, is that so often with our addiction and our bad habits, is that's what we do, is we just kind of, let's just kind of prop up my structure of my life, kind of keep it going for a little while longer, but not actually say, okay, there's certain issues, if I just dealt with it right, then it would be strengthened and it wouldn't be in danger of falling down. And so we want to realize that there's things that we need to make the choices of how to fix things and fix it right. And so the solution we want to understand, both to overcoming our addiction and as well to becoming resilient under stress, is to build our lives well, is to make those choices. Because it's kind of the thing is that it's our life that we have to live in. Why would we choose shoddy materials in which to build our lives? And that's really when we're stepping out of what we would identify as a path of integrity. That's what we're doing, is we're building our lives with things that are second best, that are not what are really designed to build our life with. I'm reminded of an illustration of this One guy that was a carpenter, he was kind of worked as a hired man for this rich fellow, and he was getting close to, he was engaged, getting close to be married, and but soon before he excuse me, was going to get married, his boss all of a sudden said, "Well, I have a project for you. I want you to build this house on this part of my property over here, and here's the plans, here's the materials list, and here's the money to pay for it, and I just want you to build that, and then we'll settle up when you get back." And so he was like, okay. But he looked at it, and it was like everything that he asked for in this building was just like top of the line. And he had all this pool of money to pay for it, but he thought, well, boy, that's don't have to go that big on that. We could kind of cut some corners, and he's thinking, I'm going to spend all this money anyway, so I'll pocket a bit of this money, and I'll kind of cut corners here, cut corners there, put in a little bit less insulation than what it calls for, and I'll do kind of the second best, not the best that he has on here, and I'll just kind of make it so. And so he thought, oh, I'm pocketing this money, and he'll never know. And so he builds this house, and he knows that there's different things that just aren't quite right with it, but it's like he figures, well, he'll not find out. But the guy gets home, and so he gets to him and says, well, I'm all done, I'll give you the keys, and here his boss hands him the keys back, and he says, well, I knew that you were getting married, so this is my wedding present for you and your wife, that this is your new house. And but that's, to illustrate that, it's kind of the seeing is that a lot of times we try to cut corners in our lives, and then we have to live in what we've made. And you think of it this way, that God wants to have our lives built with the best things possible, right? And we say, well, no, I'll just cut corners in this area. This isn't that important. And then we live in our life and it's not as good as it could have been because we didn't follow the instructions. And so we want to learn that God wants to help us. And it's this whole idea of integrity. He wants our lives to be built well. And he has a plan for that. And so it's as we follow his plan, we can have a life that's built well, that where when we have a desire for something that we know is not healthy, we have too much in our lives that would say, well, why would I do that? I have so much more to live for than to pursue after this. And when we're under stress, he has built within us a resiliency so we know how to handle it and respond properly, even though things are difficult. And so I want to just give a few thoughts on the idea of being guided by integrity. And so it's the idea is that a lot of times we lose our personal integrity. Our personal integrity suffers when we find ways to justify and excuse doing what is wrong. That we're in a difficult situation, or someone mistreated us, or we're desperate, and so, or sometimes we think just, oh, well, nobody's going to know, and so then we step across that line of what we know is right and wrong. And so that's the thing, we start making decisions not based on what is right, instead it's, well, what can I get away with? And that becomes, well, nobody's around, nobody's going to see, what's it going to hurt this one time? And then a lot of times what happens, it's not just one time. And it becomes, gets us into bondage. And so I found this quote I thought was really kind of helpful in understanding integrity. And it's choosing courage over comfort. Choosing what is right over what is fun, fast, or easy. And choosing to practice our values rather than simply professing them. And that's the thing, is that a lot of times that's a temptation that the devil puts in our path. Well, this is comfortable. This is easy. This will be fun. Just go ahead and indulge. And it's never worth it. And instead say, no, I'm going to do right. Even though it's difficult, even though it's uncomfortable, even though I might get laughed at, even though I might miss out on the fun these people are having in the moment, but it's because we know that, okay, that fun is only for the moment. It's not going to last. And so it's learning to have that, of having that ability to make the right choices, even when it's not easy. And we think of it in a day of moral relativism, you can have, you can, if you're looking hard enough, you can find someone that's going to give you the okay for what you want to do, whatever nasty thing it might be. You'll find someone that says, oh yeah, you should do that, that's a good idea. But we realize that what we need more than ever is really a compass that we can rely upon to guide us in the right direction. And that's the thing, that there's, it's like I remember one time with Brother Hawkins where we went out hunting deer out in the mountains, and we got turned around, and it's like, it's easy when you get lost out here because you just kind of stand on the top of your car and you can look, it's like, oh yeah, that's where we're supposed to be. But when you're in the mountains in the bush and it's like you get turned around, you could walk in circles for days and not even realize it. But that's the thing, is that in this day and age, that's how it is many times. We can't see our way, and so we need a compass. What do I do? How do I know what's right? What decision am I supposed to make in this situation? And so we want to understand that God, through His Word, gives us an unchanging, reliable guide of what is right and wrong. It isn't somewhere we have to think, okay, how do I know what to do in this situation? That we have different precepts He lays down, which are commands that make it pretty clear, thou shalt not. But then as well, we have a lot of principles where we can apply it to a lot of different situations. And we say, okay, this is wisdom that can help me to know what to do, to do the right thing. And so as we learn to build our lives based on the truth of His Word, that gives us resiliency, and it helps to set us free from our addiction. And we see in Psalm 119 how it talks about how shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. That as we follow Him and His commands, it helps give us guidance. I just wanted to read, this is from Matthew chapter 7. This is Jesus. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so you think of it, it's when you hear what God has saying, specifically how Jesus is leading us, and you do what He says, you have that structural integrity to your life. The storms will come, and you're going to weather the storm. But if you hear what He has to say and you don't do it, it's where you don't have that structural integrity. And so when a storm comes, you're not going to be able to withstand it. And so we realize that's what He wants to help us. He wants us to have integrity. And so when He's telling us this is the right thing to do, this is the wrong thing to do, it isn't to ruin our fun. It isn't to have us miss out on something good. He's trying to save us from a lot of sadness and sorrow and heartache. And so it's as we understand what He wants us to do and we put it into practice, then we find ourselves blessed and in a place where we desire to be and where we are doing the right thing and earning the respect of others. And so in order to be guided by integrity, we have to know for certain what is the right thing to do. And because if you don't know what's right and wrong, it's hard to follow it. But then as we know what's right, we need to do what is right no matter what. And every action that we do has consequences that are far-reaching. That occurs when we make bad decisions, but it also occurs when we make good decisions. And sometimes we just realize we're at certain points we've turned a different way, and we might have had a friend that kept going this the way that we were going, and their life is now destroyed, where our life is now being put back together by God's grace. And so it's learning to do that, that it's like, I need to do right, even if no one else is doing it, even if people give me a hard time, even if there's no, doesn't seem to be any present benefit in it, I know that it is going to be worth it in time to come. And to have that faith in that. And so it's that thought, as we learn to guide our lives by principle rather than by our desires or emotions, then we can withstand the storms of life and our addiction loses its hold over us. Because that's usually what happens when we give in. It's when we're down, we've had a rough day, we figure this will help us feel better, and that's when we give in to the addiction. And so it's instead where we have the principle, and that's a lot of why we have the 10 principles of RU. And just, you think of the first one, where if God's against it, so am I. Where it just says, okay, well, if God says you shouldn't do this, I'm going to agree with God, and I'm just going to listen to what he has to say. And then, like what we've learned tonight, number 6, those who do not love the Lord will not help us serve the Lord. That we realize, okay, yeah, that I need to choose my companions carefully, because if I don't, they'll trigger me back into the behavior I'm trying to get out of. And so there's different things like that we learn to be guided by a principle, that our integrity becomes that compass, that we say, this is the right thing to do, this is the right structure that God wants to have built into my life, and so I'm going to be guided by that, I'm going to follow that so that I can have victory. And this is a verse we've referred to many times, 2 Corinthians 12:10, when I am weak, then am I strong. And it's the thing is that when the stresses of life come, that a lot of times we come to a place where we realize our own strength that we have, our own wisdom, our own willpower, that we're not strong enough to withstand those stresses on our own. That it just, we realize in myself, when these things come upon me, I am going to break. And the thing is, in those moments, that's when we need to turn to God in faith and submit to his will for us. And when we do that, he gives us the wisdom and strength that we need to respond positively. That if we're going to have a life that is structurally sound, God has to be a part of it. And the more he is a part of it, the greater strength we will have. And so it's what we have to learn. We talked about that, of developing a relationship with God. That it isn't just we come to him to bail us out when we get into a big mess, even though he will do that and he's glad to do that. It's learning to walk with him each day so that we can have victory and we can remain the men and women of integrity we desire to be. Because in our own strength, we're always going to falter and fail. We're going to have that moment of emotion where we say or do something that we regret. And many times, what reputation we may have had built up is very quickly destroyed. But if we look to God for the strength we need, he'll help us to maintain that integrity and have that guide us where it isn't... We're not in this great conundrum of what do I do in this situation. It's just like, okay, what does God want me to do? What's the right thing to do? And we just say, I'm going to do that and let the chips fall where they may and just trust the Lord's going to make it work out. And as we do that, we might suffer in the long term sometimes when we make the right decision, but in the end it's going to be worth it. All right, so any thoughts or questions as we conclude? Sure.